Brilliance Audio presents Annapolis by William Martin, performed by John Pruden. Prologue. The last chapter. Don't have your tongue between your teeth. The line snapped through Steve Stafford's head before every cat shot. It was what his flight instructor had said to him the first time he launched from an aircraft carrier, and he'd never forgotten it. He throttled up, he flashed his lights, signaling that he was ready. The catapult officer dropped to one knee, touched his illuminated green wand to the deck, then pointed toward the bow, playing his part in the launch ballet, relaying his orders without words while the jet engines roared and the wind whipped over the bow at 25 knots. Steve Stafford did not hear the plane. Instead, he felt it at the base of his spine and the center of his chest. But inside his helmet, there was a strange quiet. He could listen to his own breathing, the voice of Joe Digger, his bombardier navigator, and to the calm voice inside his own head. Don't have your tongue between your teeth or you might bite it off. And be professional. It had come at last. All the training, Naval Academy, flight school, carrier quals, replacement air group, would finally mean something. The catapult, a steam-driven slingshot that could throw a pickup truck 2 miles, grabbed his A6E intruder by the nose gear and fired. The plane shot forward. The jolt slammed Steve against his seat and snapped his jaws. Then 18,000 pounds of Pratt & Whitney turbojet thrust kicked in, lifting him off the deck of the USS America and out over the Red Sea. He formed with his wingman, they formed with their squadron, and the night blazed with the man-made stars of Operation Desert Storm. 36 A-6s and F-14 Tomcats vectoring northwest, screaming low over the Arabian Desert, rocketing toward an Iraqi airfield designated H-2. Their mission? To strike a blow for the New World Order and be professional. Steve had the controls. Joe Digger navigated from the AVA-1, which delivered flight data and a synthetic terrain, sea, and sky image on the CRT screen. In 2 hours, they were closing on H-2. As long as the stealth bombers had punched holes in Iraqi air cover, the A-6s would be in and out before the Iraqis knew what hit them. And if any Iraqi MiGs came up, the F-14s would be waiting to send them right back down. This was not a pretty mission. No laser-guided bombs here. Just 12,000 pounds of rock-eye big canister bombs that carried little bombs designed to tear up runway concrete like a plow tearing up dry ground. They shot in low, not much more than 200 feet. Steve made a perfect approach at 90 degrees to the runway, and Joe Digger delivered the ordnance. Bombs away. Flash and flame stitched themselves across the ground and lit the desert all around. Bingo, said Joe Digger calmly. Roger. Sound professional. Alarm, alarm, buzzing in the headsets, flashing on the CRT screens, surface-to-air missiles locked on. We got SAMs, said Digger. Roger, visual contact, said Steve, his eyes fixed on 2 tails of flame rising toward them through the darkness. Release countermeasures. The air beneath the plane was suddenly littered with aluminum chaff intended to confuse the missiles. Whoosh! One SAM blew by just 50 feet to starboard, chasing the aluminum. And whoosh! The other shot under the plane, its exhaust burning so bright that it lit the 2 faces in the cockpit. American countermeasures worked. Iraqi proximity fuses did not. But now tracers began to rise in long, delicate strands all around H-2. That meant AAA, anti-aircraft artillery. Slow, primitive, altitude-fused explosives, the same thing they shot at B-17s over Europe 50 years ago. But if there's enough AAA going up, someone's bound to come down. And tonight, it was Steve Stafford.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?